The kickball theory. When you're picked last or you feel left out by your friends, it hurts, even if you're an adult.
I mean, forget about your friends. I mean, it hurts more when it's your friends. When you're left out by strangers, it hurts. It doesn't feel good. That's the thing on the kickball playground. Nobody might not even know who you are, but you at least hope that they look at you and they think, oh, he could kick a ball. He's strong.
I was always the last one picked in all the sports. I was never athletic. It wasn't my thing. And I was always last. And I was heavy when I was a kid.
Yeah, but if they understood your bottled rage, if they could just see that, they would know.
There was one dodgeball tournament where I came out with fists of steel.
Yeah.
And I was throwing them as hard as I could. And all these kids on the other team ganged up against me because they had had enough of pudgy little Anna at that point.
Yeah.
And they threw, and not only did I catch one in my arms, Raven, one of the balls, I caught one in between my legs. That's a big deal.
It took suckers out, though, right? It's not enough just to catch it. You responded with violence.
I took two people out,
yeah,
and I was able to get more people from my team back in. I was a hero that day.
Yeah, they carried you off on their shoulders.
Well, they couldn't. I was heavy, so they couldn't put me
on.
It was tough. It was tough.
So one thing about kickball that I do remember and wiffleball is that if you went up there, though, with too much of that rage and you couldn't find your inner zen, like the balance, you could miss the ball when you ran up to it. But as an adult, what's the same thing?
I think there's a lot of times when you get that twinge of feeling left out or feeling like I don't belong or they don't want me part of this group. And it's sad. I had a dream the other night.
Yeah.
It was a dream. It was not real. I had a dream that my cousin Angela, who is my best friend, was invited to go hang out with Rob Thomas and Matchbox 20.
From Matchbox 20. Mm-hmm. Right.
At a Matchbox 20 concert.
Yeah.
And I found out through our other friends that were going, and she didn't invite me.
That's harsh, and I would be upset with both her and Rob.
What a weird dream
to have.
But I remember in the dream feeling so left out and being like, why wouldn't she want me to be part of that group? But I think that if everyone's going to an event and you weren't invited,
sure,
that's when you get that feeling.
Or you find out from the side person, not the person who created the event, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so my buddy Mark, last time he was in town, I found out the day after he had got to town that he was at the bar. And he tells me at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night.
Oh.
Like on like a Thursday. So you were coming up this week. You knew this. And you tell me now, you know what time I wake up.
Right.
I was hurt.
Yeah, that hurts. How about when you go to a wedding and all your quote unquote friends are sitting at one table and for whatever reason, you're at a table filled with random people. Why was I the one that had to sit with the randoms?
Last wedding I went to.
Yeah.
Alicia and I. Mm. It was like, you know, kids she had known when they were younger or whatever. We were totally at the random table. We were enemies with one couple that was there.
That's really sad.
There was history. Like somebody didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to check Google that or something, man.
How about when you have a family party, but there's not enough seats at the adult table and you get put at the children's table?
Oh,
I always feel bad for my brother-in-law, Bobby, because he's still single. And for some reason, we always put him at the kids' table. And he says he prefers to be there. But in retrospect, I'm like, is he just saying that?
Yeah.
And he feels like, why can't I sit with the grown-ups too?
Last barbecue we went to at my buddy Dan's house, everybody brings dishes. Nobody ate our dish.
Oh.
I left with it.
Easter came up as one of the best holidays to introduce somebody that you're dating to your family. And I could not even understand why.
Mm.
I mean, Easter, if you're very religious, is one of the most religious holidays of the year, so there's a lot of pressure.
Sure.
And for many Americans, they don't celebrate it that way as a religious holiday. And then are you even having a celebration, or are you just having a brunch, or are you not doing anything?
All right, slow down. Take a breath.
I can't.
Take a breath here.
And it's too confusing.
I know that you're worried about what Jesus is going to think if you're bringing somebody home because your family is religious.
Right.
And that's great. And the observation of the holiday is very sacred and important. So, yeah, when you bring somebody home on Easter, like Christmas or even like the family holiday Thanksgiving here in America, like that's a big deal. Right. There's going to be some inquisitive things. Like if I brought somebody to Easter at my grandmother's house when she was alive, God bless her, she would definitely have some questions for her. If I brought somebody home like on Christmas Eve for the first time, it was like, okay, so when are we getting married? Like that was the conversation.
All right. So Raven,
but if you're not religious.
All right. Yeah, right.
It rolls back a little bit here. Easter's kind of light.
Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin, I was thinking about it. When you started dating your significant others, at what point, at what holiday did you decide this is when I'm going to introduce them to everybody in the family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easter was actually the first holiday I brought Aaron home to meet
my
family. Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he wear pastel?
He did. He had like a pink, like pastel shirt and all that.
It softens the blow, Anna. If you wear pastels, it definitely does, right? But so if you're wearing pink or purple or something like that, your family's like, oh, they're sensitive. That's good.
Paul has an entire line of pink and purple shirts for Easter. He does.
The whole set.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy, that one.
But it kind of sets the mood because it's like you're coming home for a religious holiday. If you're practicing that religion, it's nice to see that they're thinking it's important to be there. Mm-hmm. I went home for Christmas with his family. I think that was one of the first holidays. So
was that pressure to show up on Christmas to meet him?
It is, because like Christmas is a big holiday. There's gifts involved. Like you have to think more than just showing up for a brunch or a nice Easter dinner kind of thing.
That's true.
It's still tougher than Easter. It's still tougher than Easter. Justin, what do you think is the easiest or worst holiday to introduce somebody yet?
I don't think I ever had to do a hard entry into like an official holiday. I was always like a soft open, like, you know, something a little less consequential. But I do remember one particular that I brought to a Memorial Day cookout.
Yeah.
Which was spectacular. Okay.
That works out well.
Yeah. Everyone's in shorts and t-shirts and there's frisbee and there's football.
No gifts, Julie.
No gifts.
Right. You like that, cheapskate?
Hey, what can I bring? Oh, bring extra buns. Bring a bag of ice. It's very, very low key.
That's good.
And if it doesn't work out by Memorial Day, by July 4th, you can explain easily why it is that they broke up.
Yeah.
Well, also, it's easy for the person because if you don't, it's any holiday that doesn't require a sit down dinner.
Yeah.
You know, because at a barbecue, everyone's getting up and walking around. There's less the pressure of, so what are your intentions?
Right.
You can move around quickly. I brought Paul to meet my parents, my husband to meet my parents. It was 4th of July. It was a 4th of July
easy.
Barbecue.
That's so a good easy, one, right? Yeah. All he's going to do is show up and say that he likes America, and he's in.
And you can leave early for the fireworks. We got to go. We got to catch the fireworks.
That's true.
We got to go.
Oh, easy out. Exit. Yep.
Yeah. There's not like, you know, that weird linger of when we're going to leave. No, we got to go. The fireworks start in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're in agreement then. If you're in a fresh relationship, you might want to wait a few more weeks. That's all I'm saying.
Just wait till there's barbecues. That's what you want.
Right.
Even if it's Labor Day. Labor Day will work too. The number one reason why siblings fight is because they want their parents' attention. It's competition for the parents' attention.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, my dogs do that, right? Like, it's just a natural pecking order for things. If there's a certain amount of people in a space, you know, they all want to get that time in that space.
I don't necessarily know if I agree with that in my house. And it's strange because I can't really remember fighting with my brother and my sister when I was young, but then I was watching some old VHS videos not too long ago.
And it shocked you.
Well, my brother would just walk up behind my little sister and he would just smack her in the back of the head and keep walking like it was like it was completely normal, like out of nowhere, you know?
Me and my siblings, we didn't really fight. There was a large age group there, age gap there as well. But you know what it was? It was us versus my parents, basically, together. We are a unified front in that aspect.
I look at my girls now and it's the same thing. One is 6. And one is 16, and they're constantly fighting.
Yep.
I don't even understand what they're fighting about. They have completely different lives. One of them is in first grade. One of them is in high school. Like how? What?
The little one wants to dominate.
Well, that's what it is.
She wants the attention. She wants to be the big girl.
The
one in front.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Why did you fight with your siblings? 1-800-330-9999. Diane, you had this when you were younger. What did your brother do?
One of my brothers put sand in my bed, and then he made the bed, so I didn't know there was sand in it until I got in it.
That's awful.
And you knew immediately it was him? You knew it?
Oh, 100%. There wasn't a doubt in my mind.
So what did you do? Hop up, run, and drag them out of their bed? Was it an immediate, like, we're doing this right now?
No, I was more malicious than that. So I grew up in Florida, so what I did was when he fell asleep that night, I went in his room, and I opened all the windows and screens and turned the light on.
Nice. And those bugs could have carried him away.
It's true. That was smart. I wish I could have thought things like that when I was young.
Yeah.
I just used my fists.
Well, you know.
I'm sure that got you far in life.
Not really.
Producer Justin, you one of three brothers. What was that like? That must have been something.
Oh, it was fun. So my older brother and I are fairly close in age. My younger brother was a few years behind. So my mother would always make us play with our younger brother.
Of course.
Right.
We'd go outside and we'd play, but he was always, if we're playing soccer, he's the goalie, so we'd kick soccer balls at his head.
Yeah.
And if we lost something over the fence, then we would pick him up and toss him over the fence because he was so much smaller and he'd have to retrieve the ball.
Yeah. I have the same situation with my husband. My husband is the youngest of three boys. The scars he has on his head from being hit with milk crates, from like just getting like just a karate chop to the head. Like they just beat him. Like I was like, he spent more time in the hospital room than anywhere.
Yeah, and at no time was it ever malicious, but it was just like, well, he's the lightest, he's the smallest, you know, he can't keep up with us.
It wasn't malicious. I mean, that's exactly what it was.
I mean, he'd bristle a little bit, so he'd get a little ornery, but you know, what could he do?
What was the reason why you used to fight with your siblings, and what did you do? 1-800-330-9999. The number one reason why siblings fight is for the parents' attention. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think a lot of people fight with their brothers and their sisters for a multitude of other reasons besides that.
Yeah, but I think that it all, the root of everything is I want to be in control. I want to be the number one, right? And that usually starts with parents' attention. It certainly starts with the observation of rules. So if you can get away with more, you know, or if you're the one who's, you know, a little bit more conniving, like, you're going to use that.
Yeah.
Kids use their powers for bad, not good a lot of times.
So we want to know, why did you fight with your siblings? And I'm looking at our text line. They would steal my clothes. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about ratting you out to mom and dad? They would always tell on me.
Yeah, that's a huge one right there. So you'd have to have something in your pocket that you could hold over them, like, you know, assured peace through mutual destruction.
Not sharing the car. That's tough.
That's a tough one.
Right. Using the landline all the time. Remember? That used to be a thing. Only one person could be on the phone at a time.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Mary, why did you fight with your siblings?
So me and my older brother, we used to fight over the TV remote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whoever woke up like early get to use the TV all day, and they get to choose whatever they wanted to watch. And we wrestle together, and my brother always beat the crap out of me.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
So you had to wake up at like 3 a.m. if you wanted to be in control of the television.
Yes, like 6, 7 in the morning. Grab the remote and be like, I was here first. You can tell by me putting this channel.
And so your parents, though, your parents accepted that rule as well? Like whoever got the remote first was going to be the person who had it all day?
My parents didn't really care. They didn't really know what was going on.
Right. They just wanted to survive. I understand
they were
that.
Like, they were in the other room.
Do what you want. Yeah. I don't care what you're watching.
They were in the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a similar situation when Nintendo first came out.
Yeah.
Because my brother is the boy, I grew up in a very Italian family, he would get to play whenever he wanted. So I would have to wait for him not to want to play for my turn, even though I am 3 years older than him. What kind of nonsense is that in retrospect?
Let me tell you how that works, too, is that when you know somebody else wants to play, you'll keep playing even if you don't want to anymore.
That's why I never play. I could care less now at this point. I've given up.
Yeah, you had to give that part of your life up.
I'm still waiting for my turn.
Anna and Raven, who's this?
Hi, this is Antoinette.
Antoinette, tell us about how you used to fight with your siblings.
Well, I have actually 5 brothers, but I came in a world with another one, which is my twin. Mm-hmm. So I got, like, bullied all the time. So what I would do is when my brothers or something, if they had, like, girlfriends come over or something.
Yeah.
I would tell them, oh, you just missed Suzanne. She just came by. Like, I would start a big uproar with my brothers with their girls.
Yeah, they learned their lesson.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, they learned their lesson by then. They wish they had been nicer.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Lewis, what's a fight you remember with your siblings growing up?
Well, when I was growing up, my sister used to drive me to school, you know, in high school, and we'd fight over what songs we listened to on the radio. Mm. And, I mean, she was a crazy driver as it was, so we'd be doing, like, 80 on the freeway and just smacking each other and going after the radio and changing it, and then just surprised we're both still alive, to be honest with you.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I hope you mean slapping each other's hands and wrists, but okay.
Oh, she went for the face a lot.
My brother was like that. He always had to listen to Limp Bizkit and Korn on full blast in the car. Like, so embarrassing. This is so gossipy, and I don't even care because I've deemed the guy to be a dirtbag, and I have no respect anymore for him.
Yeah, well, why would you care? Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I got a text message from a very good friend of mine yesterday, and she says, you got a minute? And anytime one of your friends says, you got a minute, you know something good's coming.
Something's going on.
Yeah, there's like a story.
Let me
something
fill you
happened.
In.
Right.
Or they've won the lottery. Something like that.
Something.
Right? Something's dropping.
Okay, so my good friend, right, she's a little bit older than me. She's in her late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And She is her parents' caretaker. She has elderly parents and
sandwich generation.
Exactly. And sure. If you've ever been in that, you know that it is a full-time job. It is not fun. It is a lot of work and it takes a mental and physical toll on you.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
She was dating a man for about a year and a half, the last year and a half, that she was very serious relationship with. And she thought that there was a future together. And she thought that this was her guy for the rest of her life and all those good things, right?
I mean, you spent a year and a half together at that age, right? That's what you're thinking.
Absolutely. So now it's October, the first week in October. And he goes to her and he says, like, we really need to talk. And he says that the toll of her always having to be with her parents, and she has to live with her parents at this point to take care of them. And it's too much on him. And that he thinks that their relationship needs to take a break because he needs to be able to go live his own life and do his own things where, you know, he doesn't feel trapped in that situation.
I mean, it's not pleasant to hear.
But it's understandable.
But it's understandable. It is a lot for some people. And maybe you're not built for that. You didn't sign up for that.
But time out.
Okay.
Now. All right. Great. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye, boy, we'll call you. Okay. Now, one week later.
7 days.
7 days. Mm-hmm. He's dating this new woman. Now, she works at a gym. She works at a gym, and he trains at that gym. So she has to see his dumb face every single day. Okay? All right. The other day, yesterday, she gets a call from one of her friends and says, I have to tell you something. He was engaged to that woman at Christmas. So within October, no, let's do the math.
Okay.
November, December.
I'll help you with the math because math is not your big thing, right?
Within 2 months, he was engaged to this random woman that he met a week after he had broken up with her after they'd been together for a year and a half.
Supposedly a week after.
Right.
Was this a person that was also at the gym?
No. Right? Like, so, No. She's an outsider. And here's the thing. He would text her. Till this past week,
yeah.
He would text her for, they would have doggy daycare dates. Like they would go to the dog park with their dogs.
Oh, they had a dog together?
No. They would just meet, each of them have their own dogs. But they would meet at the dog park
to
catch up.
So the dogs could play together. Yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, I was like, well, we're never going to the dog park again. And she's like, well, do I confront him? I go, what do you do? Do you say to him, like, what the heck? You've been hiding the fact that you've been engaged for the last few months and you found this girl within 5 minutes of breaking up with me. And all of a sudden you're engaged within 2 months. How do you handle that?
The first thing we're going to do is we're going to sit down the dog and we're going to explain the dog why it is that they can't see their friend anymore. Because no, you can't have any interactions anymore. But you can't run herself out of her gym. She works there too, right?
Well, right. What are you going to do? So she works there. She has to look at his face. So it's the worst situation. So she blocked him on all social media last night. She blocked him everywhere.
Yeah. Which seemed like so the statement is made.
Right. The first move. But do you say something to him? Do you say like, hey, that's messed up. And the fact that you've been hiding it from me for the last couple of months too. What do you do?
I mean, it's not going to change anything. So I don't, I think that the message has already been sent. Once you block everything and you stop the doggy daycare dates, then the message is sent. And there's no resolution coming for her. He's engaged.
He should have to quit the gym. I said she should send him a text and say you have to quit the gym.
You and I are not in charge of that. So it'll take other people running him out.
Maybe I have to tell him. Should I tell him? You have to quit the gym so we never have to see your dumb face again.
I mean, I think you just said it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So, I mean, hopefully he gets the message. I keep thinking that today is going to be the day where I feel better.
Do you feel better?
No. I don't feel better at all really yet at this point. I'm really having a hard time.
Next week, it'll be 10 years that Raven and I have been working together.
That's right.
How many times have you attempted to quit smoking and failed at it in the last decade?
Probably three or four times.
Please.
Probably three or four times.
A year. Three or four times a year, I have to listen to your whole big lead up to the fact that you're not going to smoke anymore and that this is it. It's all over. And then I tell you, just give up. You fail every single time.
Well, listen, I mean, first off, any doctor or therapist or professional would tell you what you're doing is unhealthy by saying that to me, and that no matter how many times it takes me to try, I should continue to try in that thing. But I get what you're saying is that at some point I should just be successful and I just snap the fingers and it'll be over and it'll be fine.
Maybe it's reverse psychology because you want to prove me wrong. Every time I think that he's going to prove me wrong, and then he purposely doesn't tell me when he starts smoking again.
No,
you don't say anything.
But first
and then
off,
all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, you'd be like, today is the last day that I'm going to smoke a cigarette.
for like 3 years, you didn't know that I was smoking a gun.
Right, because you would hide it because you're embarrassed of it.
I don't hide it from you any more than I do from anywhere else. I just feel like it's not a thing that you certainly want to be out in public with or whatever.
But
right?
This time
is a little bit different.
Hold on,
and my wife are both in it together this time.
Julie, come here. I'm calling producer Julie because she has a good idea.
What?
All right.
I haven't heard any idea. Here's the status. I have not had a cigarette in 10 days at this point. I have also chosen this time to be a great time to try intermittent fasting. And what else do I have going on right now? Also searching for a new bed. And
now here we go.
There's a lot of struggles going on right now. Like, it's a real struggle right now is all I'm saying.
So maybe you need a good suggestion on how to quit smoking to be successful. And I think Julie had a good one. We were talking about it. Julie, what do you think that Raven should do?
Yeah, I struggled to stop sucking my thumb when I was in elementary school.
Same thing.
I couldn't quit it. Right. So you want to know what the guidance counselor told me to do?
Yeah.
Carry around sugar-free Dum Dum lollipops.
Yeah.
So when I had the urge to suck my thumb, pop one of those. I was addicted to those. Yeah. But you know what?
You traded one vice for the other.
The thumb sucking was over.
Yep. Yeah.
How long ago was that? When was that?
It was elementary.
Guidance counselor.
Like 16 years ago.
Yeah. You have a therapist. She had a guidance counselor.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw my therapist last night, and I know that I'm not supposed to eat extra sugar right now. The sugar free is one thing, but those sound like empty calories. And I can't have that.
You know what? It's not.
Between 7 and 11 a.m.
But it's not a cigarette.
Right. And Raven, true or false?
Smoke that lollipop.
This is why I always say, just give up. Yesterday, as you were explaining to me. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
What was the first thing? What did you say about man camping? You have man camping.
I might have one.
Okay, here we go.
You're
gonna go camping, and but when I go camping, I gotta smoke though. No, you don't.
Just gonna bring a handful of lollipops.
Yeah.
I guess.
Bring a handful
or
of sugar free Dum Dum.
Yeah. One of the
Maybe
other.
Maybe try sucking your thumb.
No, that would be weird. That would be very awkward.
Trade one thing.
I'll bring you some lollipops. Just suck on the lollipops.
I can't eat them. Don't bring me any lollipops.
The sugar free lollipops are fine.
Thank you for those that are rooting for me. I appreciate your support.
All six of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Who made the coolest decorated Easter egg? Just kidding. We couldn't use eggs, though. It's become a whole thing because the price of eggs are so much money that people are dyeing and coloring different items. There has been some trends where people have been dyeing potatoes, onions, marshmallows as well. And I thought we could probably do better than that.
Oh, my pa, how are we going to survive? Can't any one of us just sell our teeth fillings or something so we can afford some eggs this week? Can't we just do that?
Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin.
Buck up, America. Get tougher.
Each of us was given the assignment yesterday, and we brainstormed on the air of what other items we could paint and we could decorate. And now we've done it, and it's up to you to decide who did the best job. Julie, what did you decide to do?
So I said I was going to use raw noodles and get really creative, color them, use glitter. I didn't have any glitter, but I did have little tiny fine print pens.
Mm.
So I used the fine tip pens and I drew colors on my little lemon flavored noodles. So they're yellow to start and then they've got little designs on them.
Julie, I mean this with all respect.
It's terrible, isn't it?
All due respect, but... I'm sorry. It's that
after two of them, my hand was cramping.
it's like writing on rice is what I imagine.
It is actually. You know what? If you had carved ice, or rice or something then that's a thing, right? Like that would have been something.
I couldn't do more than two.
It's like a pasta necklace.
They're here though.
It's like a pasta necklace you were gonna make here, but you got two through. You got through two of them.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't necessarily think you should do that with your children unless you want them to be very sad.
Yeah.
They're going to have carpal tunnel at two.
Yeah.
You get one of those big guys.
Mom, my hands won't work. Well, that's all right because we're not allowed eggs anyways.
Justin, what do you have over here?
I have mozzarella balls. I gave it some thoughts. I was going to make pasta. I was going to roll out pasta and make it egg-shaped, but then I realized that I would have to use eggs for the pasta itself, too, so I was defeating the entire purpose. But I got mozzarella balls that are roughly the same shape and size as eggs, and then I dyed them in beet juice, and the other color, the yellowish-orangish, is a solution of turmeric.
That's sick! Wait, you can eat them. Fully eat them.
Yes, they're edible.
There's nothing artificial in these.
I mean, but A size of mozzarella.
I like the pink one.
Large
yeah.
as
that's the beet juice.
As large as an egg, right? Like, I mean, what's the ratio of what's the cost on that much cheese?
The calorie count is even.
Well, the calorie count is something else. This is Easter. We don't count calories.
It comes in a deli container in the supermarket.
Yeah.
It was very reasonably priced. Certainly less than a dozen eggs.
Okay.
I disagree. I think that's expensive.
Right.
I have to say the pink ones look like little piggies.
Bite one right now.
Cute.
Bite one right now. I want to see if it's any good.
It looks good.
Oh,
I can't have it, but that looks delicious.
Oh, I'll have one.
I can't have it either. I'm fasting.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Mmm.
Yeah.
How lovely.
It's just mozzarella.
All right. Anna, what do you have?
I feel brililliant.
Yeah.
Because as I told my daughter I was going to take all her Play-Doh and I was going to color it, and
okay.
She got the tears in her eyes, and I was like, okay, I'm not taking all your Play-Doh. I started looking around. I go, what could I dye that's cheaper than eggs? Ta-da!
What is that?
Is that a rock?
Nope.
Avocado.
It's an avocado.
Oh,
nice.
Here's the best part about the avocado. Much like the egg, I can cut it open and I can serve it and we can eat it and it'll be delicious on some toast.
That's really cute.
I can't eat it.
Ta-da!
But you guys enjoy it. That's not bad. Not bad.
And look at it.
Not bad.
And my daughter had such a blast painting it with all the different colors. This is supposed to be a bunny. It doesn't really look like a bunny, but I told her it did.
I'm sorry. Mine is not edible. All right. But I believe mine is unique in the fact that mine is the first one that illuminates the space that we're in. I apologize to Tristan. We had to steal your lamp this morning. I hope you didn't make this in wood shop or something. It's a very strange looking lamp, by the way. It's like,
why did you steal
looks
Tristan's
like somebody's
lamp?
Wooden leg.
Why
and then
did
it has like a doily. And anyways, but we needed it because mine is a light bulb that's been decorated. Wait, look directly at the light bulb.
I'm looking at it.
Is everybody ready? Ready?
Yeah. Oh, it's like a bunny. It's a bunny face on it. Oh, it
blinks.
It strobes.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's supposed to strobe. So I think there's like a short in this lamp.
Oh.
But if you stare at long, you won't be able to see.
But
now look at me.
There's a little face.
What can you see?
You
can't see anything.
I see like little lights on your
there's
eyes.
A little face on
All right.
That's right.
Go, cute. Go to our Instagram at Anna and Raven and you can vote who did the best job. I mean, what's wrong with being a Nepo baby? It must be nice just to have a nice, easy life, not have to work too hard, be able to pursue all the dreams and things you wanted to do and have a helping hand along the way.
Listen, having a helping hand, having opportunity, that is a huge deal. And that's a privilege that nobody should refuse if they're offered it to. But on the other hand, being somebody's, you know, Nepo baby comes with an awful lot of pressure if you want to do your own thing or if you want to follow in their footsteps.
I
can't
guess.
Win.
Yeah. All right. Bill Gates. Let's talk about him for a second.
Mm-hmm.
He did an interview recently and he was asked about what he's leaving his children. And this is what he said.
My kids got a great upbringing and education, but, you know, less than 1% of the total wealth because I decided it wouldn't be a favor to them. You know, it's not a dynasty. You know, I'm not asking them to run Microsoft. I want to give them a chance to have their own earnings and success, you know, be significant and not overshadowed by the incredible luck and good fortune I had.
What if you're that one kid that's just like, you know, and I'm not going to, well, you know what, why not? I'm in the business of making jokes. But, what if you're the middle kid, right? The one who's kind of like, oh, I've been buried or whatever. You're like, no, I am taking over daddy's company. This is exactly how we're going to do it. And I'm going to get a bigger chunk.
He has three kids. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, what if one of them wants to take over Microsoft? Can't we just give it to them?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the option? Is it keeping it in the family?
Well, I'm sure there's people more qualified than that, right? I mean, he was a creator, so that's a little bit different at this point. I mean, now I feel like he's more of a steward, but over $100 billion, less than 1%, it's still, you know, it's $1 billion
yeah.
split amongst the three of them.
I did some math. So the three kids are between the ages of 22 and 28, and he's worth $102.2 billion. So when I started
a lot of money.
I started thinking about it. Wait a minute. All right, so they get like $1 billion. $1 billion divided by three is still more money than most of us will ever see in our lifetime.
And didn't Melinda get like, she got like the same or more or whatever?
Do you think moms and dads are different? Because as a mom, I'm like, every penny that I have goes to my kids.
That's what I'm thinking.
So maybe Melinda's going to give him more.
Yes.
And like, she's just, you know, he's holding it back and he's like, no, you're going to chase your own dreams. I've given you the education and the foundation you need to go and succeed.
I've been asking you to come over here and help me move this sofa for the past 3 months. All right? You never once mowed the lawn. Seems a little petty there, Bill Gates.
I don't know.
I'm sure everybody's going to be fine.
I mean, I understand what he's saying. It's so much money.
And doesn't he own, like, Oregon? Or, like, Washington or whatever? Like,
just a state?
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure Zuckerberg owns, like, Maui, right? Like, so don't they just own...
I feel bad. Like, so at least you're one of three. You got a better chance of getting more cash. Elon Musk, how many kids do you have now?
Oh,
11, 14?
Like, I think it's like 12, 13.
Yeah, he has a lot of kids.
Like him and Nick Cannon are, you know.
Neck and neck.
Yeah, they're going to have a soccer teams that face off at each other, I guess. I don't know what they're doing.
Elon's worth $359 billion, though. So
wow.
So that's.
That happened,
so,
huh?
So I guess he could have as many kids as he wants. Everybody's going to be fine.
Good luck to them.
What is your confession? That time of year for a lot of religions where you go to confession. Easter coming up, and for people that don't practice, it's a weird thing to explain to them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you go into a room with a complete stranger and you tell them everything you've done wrong, and then they make it okay, and you're kind of like, yeah, no, that's how it works.
Yeah, sometimes they give you some homework, right? You got to do the Hail Marys, right?
Yeah, you get
do some
prayers,
of that.
You get your stuff.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, imagine if you could just tell people, you can confess at any time, and they just absolve you.
Go unpack, right? Like, I mean, I go to therapy, but, you know, he doesn't tell me after. He's like, well, you're definitely getting into heaven.
Right.
Well,
you can't be like, okay, you're
good. He doesn't
have
that kind of authority.
You've been absolved of your sins. Go outside and run a mile. You're good. You know, that doesn't work with therapists.
Yeah, I have a confession is that, all right, so for... the longest time, every time Alicia's grandmother comes over, she makes these celery sticks with cream cheese in it and has like veggies in it, fresh veggies and like olives in it. And she's very proud of this, that concoction that she makes. I don't eat olives. So I had to tell her one time as I ate one, that's really tasty. If only it didn't have olives. And now she brings me a plate every time we have any sort of gathering full of them without the olives. And here's the thing. I don't really care for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just saying it to be, you know, welcoming or whatever. I could eat one or two. I don't need 10.
I have a
lot. But now I have to eat 10. She watches me. She watches me as I eat them.
I have so many confessions. Things that I should not say out loud.
Okay.
I don't love all of Lady Gaga's music. I like her slow songs, but her fast dance songs, I think they're trash. And that makes me feel bad because I'm such a fan of hers. Yeah.
Trash?
I don't like them. Most TV shows that people love, I can't stand. Peaky Blinders, Stranger Things.
Peaky Blinders is awesome.
White Lotus. I'd rather watch Wheel of Fortune for real.
Oh, my gosh.
100%.
Walter Goggins is a thing. I can't believe you.
I think it's weird when people dress up like cartoons and it's not Halloween. Like, I can't get into that.
The cosplay?
It's
not my thing, but...
You do you. But it's not for me.
Okay.
And I purposely leave 2 seconds on my microwave screen because I know it drives both my teenager and my husband crazy. And even though I refuse to admit that it was me, I don't know how that got there.
This all feels pretty tame compared to my celery sticks at this point. I mean, like, you have a full list of things that you've got.
Danielle, what's your confession?
My grandmother was a horrible cook. So I feel terrible about this, but I would just throw her food away that she would make.
Oh, that's really unfortunate. I'm so sorry.
I don't quite know what her problem is. Like, maybe the Great Depression was really stressful for her.
I mean, I think it was really stressful for everybody, but yeah.
fair enough. But she would use, like, very expired products as if they weren't expired, and I would get sick. I mean, listen, I was in great shape when she used to feed me as a kid.
Well, like your immunity level?
Yeah, you know, I definitely wasn't gaining any pounds as an adult. She'd make me something, and then I'd just immediately toss it and tell her how delicious it was. I mean, I didn't know what else to do.
You know, it's a really fun game to play. Go to your parents' house or your grandparents' house and go through the refrigerator and pantry and find all the things that are expired.
Oh, my gosh.
And try
it's a long
to see,
list.
Yeah, try to find what is the most expired thing. I'll come across things that have been expired for 7 years. And I'll be like, but Ma, like, what are you doing with this? And she's like, no, it's still good.
Right.
What do you mean?
There's just a little bit more left in the bottom there. And whenever I get a new bottle, I only need a teeny bit of it.
Are Americans losing interest in electric vehicles?
Oh.
There's a new poll, and the answer, according to the poll, is yes. There's been a decrease of 11% of people over the last year who says they're interested in buying an electric vehicle. Now, I'm going to take out the whole thing, Elon Musk and Tesla and that being divided.
Yeah, it's kind of the emotional thing of the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But that's not that doesn't explain the last year.
Well, right. So yeah. what they figured out was if you look, and it's so funny, I was just talking about this at lunch yesterday with a big group, is that in 2023, there was such a surge of excitement about electric vehicles and that they were the future. And one of the questions about this poll is that, is there a decrease because everybody already has it? Because over half of Americans have either a hybrid or an electric car, which I thought was huge. I wasn't aware that many people had bought them already.
Well, I think that you can tie a lot of it to tax breaks, right? So there was huge tax breaks over the last few years for electric vehicles, and there's still a bunch of them in existence, but there's always a question, are they lasting, are they not? One year it was this amount, one year it was that amount, that type of thing. Different administrations do different things. And then the economy, because that affects gasoline prices too. Like, if gas is cheap, why am I going to spend 60 grand on an electric vehicle? If electric is expensive, then, you know, it goes back and forth like a seesaw.
Well, 47% of people say they would never own one. And I'm kind of one of those people that's in the middle.
If it made sense for me economically, I'd own one.
But I travel a lot. And my concern is always, what happens if I'm on a road trip and I can't find somewhere to go? And how long does it take to charge? And I don't know. There's something, you know, you're familiar with what you know, right? So just going to a gas station.
You want to go where you go.
Yes.
And it's in and out and you're done.
But we want to know, what are the good things and what are the bad things about owning an electric car? Donna.
So I love never having to pump gas.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I despise is that when it's really, really cold or windy, the amount of electric that's in it when you charge it goes really, really fast.
Yeah. It sucks down the battery quick.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. The temperature is very...
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Donna.
I actually got myself into a prediction with that. I drove to my sister's house, and I was like, oh, no, where am I going to plug in? Because she doesn't have a plug.
Right. Yeah. So what'd you do?
So we went on the app, because there's an app that comes with the car that tells you where to plug in. And I looked all around, and I found an app, which was a local place at the grocery store, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I plugged it in for a couple hours, and I was able to get home.
Yeah. Thanks, Donna. It's like a two-hour detour on your day, though.
Yeah. Hi, Lily. Do you have an electric vehicle?
I do.
What do you like the most about it? What do you dislike the most about it?
Well, I love that I never have to go to the gas station because it's almost fully electric, but there's like a little tiny range extender on it. So if I run out of electricity, I still have a little bit of gas in a tank, which is pretty cool. So that's probably my favorite thing about it. Oh, it's super quiet, which is fun. And the least thing, I guess, sometimes in the cold weather, like really cold, it doesn't charge fast.
Yeah.
So it like takes too long to charge all the way.
Yeah. I feel like everybody says the exact same thing. Those are the benefits and the detractors.
Yeah. So now what?
I don't know.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy.
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just have to decide who's right. Alvin and Lauren. Okay, Lauren, what's going on?
Yeah, so Alvin's dad, my father-in-law, moved in with us. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away last year. And since my father-in-law moved in, I feel like I've kind of replaced my mother-in-law in a weird way. Like, every day, I'm the one who has to make him his morning coffee, and I make him his lunch before he goes to work, and I'm in charge, for some reason, of making all of his doctor's appointments, and I don't want to sound like a bad person. Like, I was happy to help at the beginning to transition, but he's 65. It seems to me like he should be able to do these things on his own. Like, I'm the daughter-in-law. I'm not his wife, and it just feels like a year of me filling in. It's just getting to be too much.
Huh. Alvin, you have to understand that. Your wife didn't sign on to be your dad's wife, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it, but you got to understand. I mean, just thinking about him, he can't do these things on his own. I mean, he doesn't know how. He married my mom when he was 18, and he doesn't know how to take care of himself. And I'm not sure that, you know, we should crucify him for something like this.
I mean, we know somebody that just lost a parent. And one of the things that he said to me in conversation that I picked up on is, like, he had to teach them how to, you know, the other parent, how to kind of manage the finances and stuff and how things work with that. But I mean, to take that on at 65, I mean, he's going to work, right? So
it's a lot to learn. Yeah.
I don't know. There certainly needs to be a conversation. I don't think it's all of a sudden now it's like, Lauren, you just got to take care of your dad.
Right.
You know, like that's not fair.
I agree. I think, you know, at 65, you're young, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's going to work every day, right? I mean, doing it for a while was very nice of you. And you guys to move him in, you know, was it because you were concerned that he was lonely or?
Yeah, he took it pretty hard. And I was happy to help for a little bit. But, you know, at some point, it's a good chance for him to learn.
You don't think that she's... her request is reasonable?
I do. I do believe it's reasonable, but I think that maybe we have to, like, figure out a different situation for him because we can't just completely stop with the help. You know what I mean? It's going to be tough on him and tough on me because, you know, I feel bad. Yeah, it's my dad, you know? Like, you got to have some compassion for him, you know, at the end of the day.
Well, babe, you could also do some of it. Like, It just doesn't feel fair that it's all on me. Like, you know how to make lunch and you know how to make coffee and call the doctor, too. Like, it doesn't have to be all him, but I'd like some help sharing it.
Hey, listen, honey, I mean, I go to work at 5 a.m. I'm there all day. I don't really have much time to do that kind of thing for him. But at the same time, you know, you're acting like these things are a big deal to just call and make a doctor's appointment. I mean, this is what family's for. Got to be there for him.
What do you think? Does she have to be there for him? Is this what family is for? Do you think Lauren is being unreasonable by saying she's doing too much to take care of her father-in-law, who's 65 years old and should be able to do things on his own?
Right. You don't expect a nice gesture to last 20 years. Whose side are you on?
How much responsibility should you have over your father-in-law after your mother-in-law passes away? I mean, it's sad. I think this happens in a lot of families.
Sure.
Lauren and Alvin, well, Alvin's father, Alvin's mother passed away, what did they say, about 6 months ago, something like that? It's been a while now.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And, you know, he moved in with them, and he's young. He's 65 years old. But Lauren says, I am taking care of this man now. I have to make him his coffee. I have to make him his lunch before he goes to work. I have to make his doctor's appointments. And she doesn't think it's fair that all of a sudden everything that her mother-in-law used to do is now on her.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is, listen, you step up, you help out, obviously, when somebody's down, right? But he's back up. The gentleman is going to work every single day. He's 65 years old. He's relatively young as far as elderly, you know, parameters would be. You know, how long is this going to go on? It's going to go on forever? She's got her own responsibilities to take care of every day. Lauren's like, you know, your dad needs to handle this or you need to help me.
Right, but Alvin is like, you know, just help him out. He's never been in a situation like this. He's never had to take care of himself. He's been with my mom forever. Like, what's the big deal? But what do you think, Annette?
I am on her side. They need to transition him to be a little bit more independent. It shouldn't be all on her. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he has to learn absolutely everything. But if he learned some things, I think that would make a big difference. Thanks for the call, Annette.
Oh, it's not an easy situation to be in. Lauren and Alvin. Alvin's mother passed away about 6 or 7 months ago, and their father moved in with them. And Lauren has been taking care of him ever since. He's 65 years old. He really never did anything for himself. He always had his wife, always had Alvin's mother. And now she has to make him coffee in the morning, pack his lunch, and when he goes to work, has to schedule all his doctor appointments. And Lauren's like, you know, I love him, but it's not my job to take care of him now that your mom is gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's an awful lot, right? I mean, it seems very generous of them, obviously, to move his father in, too, right? This is not a destitute man. He is not incapable of taking care of himself. He's still getting up and going to work every single day. He's 65 years old. That being said, grief is huge. He was married since he was 18 years old, and his wife took care of everything. So it's an adjustment period. But adjustments have to be made at some point, right? And that's kind of the point. Lauren is like, listen, this has been going on for a while. It's a lot for me. At some point, he's going to have to take on some of these duties. And Alvin's just like, no, you know, what are you going to do?
It's my dad.
I need you to do this.
You got
to be his wife
forever.
Too now.
Yeah. What do you think? Rick, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of on his side because when people are married that long and the wife does everything, writes the checks, makes the appointments, makes the coffee, blah, blah, blah. You just fall. I mean, I'm 74. And I mean, I've done it myself, but I've seen this on many occasions. They just don't know how to do it. And at 65, it's very hard to start changing your habits. And how long is she going to be there that you're going to have to do this? You got to expect You know, he's the son. I mean, you know, he's the father. He's his father and son, and you know, you just got to live with it because he's old. Who knows how long he's got?
I mean, his father could live another 30 years or so. Now you got two husbands you're taking on here, right? Wow.
Hey, Stephanie, what do you think?
I think I side with the wife. My father actually is a widow about 6 weeks ago, and we've been in the same position acclimating my dad to life on his own, making his own coffee, his own lunches. So teach that dad and get him to be an adult.
Yeah, sorry for your family's loss.
Yeah,
thanks for the
thank
call.
You, Stephanie. Bert, what do you think?
I'm on her side. You know, if the guy can get up and go to work at 65, he can handle some of his own responsibility. Now, if she gives him a hand every now and then, lovely. Other than that, the son should be stepping up also.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lauren, our audience agreed with you today. Alvin, you have to have a talk with your father. You just have to explain to him that you want to help as much as possible. That's why he lives with you guys now. But he also has to learn how to do a lot of these things because Lauren's got her hands full, too.
Oof, that's going to be a tough conversation.
You know, it's not, Alvin, like you're telling him tomorrow morning you're making your own lunch, right? Like, you know, you can gradually give him some things, kind of get him on board, maybe starting it together. As cheesy as it sounds, it's you know, it may make him feel a little bit better, but 65, he's a young man by plenty of standards. So, you know, and who knows, you know, you may not live with your father forever either. So
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot to have that conversation now.
Lauren, you got to be relieved. People obviously hear your position.
It helps me feel like I'm not being selfish or crazy. Yeah. Thank you guys for the help.
I remember my grandmother and plenty of my wife's grandmother and whatnot. They would wake up every morning, 4 a.m., make breakfast, lunch, everything before their spouse left for the day. But it's a different time. We've all got different jobs now, right? We've got plenty more responsibility.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,100. Pepsi and Andrew, tag team today. You ready to play?
Ready to play, Anna.
All right. Let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
$1,100, boys. Good luck.
All right. Remember, guys, only one of you can answer. So may figure out who that's going to be that's going to give the final answer.
Okay.
All right. Yep. We've got five pop culture questions here. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you those questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Ready to go. Ready.
Number one, 6.2 million viewers watched the White Lotus season 3 finale. In what country was the season filmed?
Thailand.
Number two, Boop, the musical, is now on Broadway. What's the name of the lead jazz age flapper character?
Don't know that one.
Number three, a People magazine staffer made it her mission to get Jack Black to be the next People magazine sexiest man alive. He's currently starring in what movie?
Minecraft.
Number four, the great American novel Great Gatsby is celebrating its 100th anniversary. It's written by F. Scott Fitzgerald, but it's based on two locations, Long Island and which city?
New York City.
And number five, 2 in 3 Americans say they like to read but would rather do something else. I mean, what kind of stat is that? Okay. Ironically, The Great Gatsby is considered the greatest book of all time by thegreatestbooks.org. Second is Ulysses by who?
That's Shakespeare. Fine.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. Where'd he go?
Ew.
A 3 out of 5 for Pepsi and Andrew.
All right, not great, not terrible. Here we go, $1,100.
You guys should have gotten number two. Would have given you a good shot. Number one, 6.2 million viewers watched the White Lotus season 3 finale. In what country was this season filmed?
Thailand.
Yes. Number two, Boop, the musical, is now on Broadway. What's the name of the lead jazz age flapper character?
It's Betty Boop.
Betty Boop, yes. Number three, a People magazine staffer has made it her mission to get Jack Black to be the next People magazine's sexiest man alive.
Yeah.
He's currently starring in what movie?
Minecraft.
Yes. Don't yell chicken jockey. Everything goes crazy.
Chicken jockey. Chicken jockey.
Yeah, and then everyone throws their popcorn and screams.
Chicken jockey.
Yeah.
Chicken jockey.
Number four, the great American novel Great Gatsby is celebrating its 100th anniversary. It's written by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Along with an assist from Stephen King.
It's based on two locations.
Okay.
Long Island and which city?
I mean, I would have to say it's probably New York.
That's right. And number five, 2 in 3 Americans say they like to read but would rather do something else. Isn't that the weirdest stat you've heard?
Yeah.
And you'd rather do... Okay. All right. Ironically, The Great Gatsby is considered the greatest book of all time by thegreatestbooks.org.
Okay.
Second is Ulysses by who?
Stephen King.
No, James Joyce.
He wrote it right after he gave the idea to Fitzgerald guy.
4 to 3 today, Pepsi and Andrew. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
It's Pepsi and Andrew, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you guys. $1,200 tomorrow, Anna.